Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we know again that it is only by your grace that we are able to live in accordance with your word, in accordance with the things you have told us. And you said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so, Lord, we know that in the gospel, you are constantly instructing us as the right way to live before you. And it is only by your grace that we are able to do so. And so, Lord, desirous to be instruments of your grace, we pray that you would give us open hearts so that we would be able both to receive and to give freely of those things, Lord, which you have entrusted to us. We thank you and we ask for your work today in our own individual hearts as we ponder these things. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us unreservedly and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We're still in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I hope that some of you, or maybe many of you, are reading in 2 Corinthians daily during this period. And Lord willing, we will continue with our series from 2 Corinthians through the next four Sundays. And then we have John Cash, who used to be the weather person on Channel 10, who will be coming and sharing with us October 30th. And by the way, do spread the word and invite a lot of people. And while we're on that, invite a lot of people Saturday. That church-wide picnic isn't just for us, is it? Isn't it for everybody? So if you know some people, some neighbors, they don't know us, that's fine. If you bring them, we'll get to know them. Amen? And in recent years, different ones have brought some friends or extended family, and we always welcome that. And the old saying was, the more, the merrier. And so we look forward to a really good time. And we've been looking at those extended forecasts, and believe it or not, the weatherman claims that by Thursday or Friday, it'll be sunny again and will remain so for several days. And they're calling for low 70s on Saturday and partly cloudy, but only a 10% chance of rain. So it looks like the Lord's going to bless us with a beautiful day, and we look forward to a good time together. And I'm also guessing, this is almost an afterthought, but I'm guessing there will be some good food there too. So the Apostle Paul, he's got a tough row to hoe in writing to the Corinthian people. The last letter he sent them was pretty direct. It was pretty rough and tough. So much so that after sending it, he was basically almost wounded in his own heart and wondered, was I too hard on him? Did I go too far? And I was reading one of the commentators this week, and he said, well, wasn't what Paul wrote inspired of the Holy Spirit and therefore couldn't be wrong? He said, yeah, absolutely so. But here we see the servant of the Lord and his humanity kind of second-guessing himself. Did you know that God's servants are susceptible to those things as well? But he had. But it wasn't without reason, because there were deep-seated, long-standing, spiritual life-hindering problems in the Corinthian church. And apparently, those who were there were not addressing them. And I say that because if they had, then why would Paul have had to write the book of 1 Corinthians? And he makes repeated reference in 2 Corinthians to a couple times he actually calls them, I looked it up in the Greek, super apostles. And he gets a little, you know, whatever, using ironic speech there, but he said, there's no way I can compare to those super apostles. Well, apparently, these super apostles who were there weren't addressing the problems, because if they had, then Paul wouldn't have had to write this letter. But let's do a little bit of background here. Paul was thinking to go in the regions above Turkey. And every time he tried, the Holy Spirit blocked him. Then he had a vision in the night of a Macedonian man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So they were in Troas, which was the jumping off place there on the tip of Turkey. So the next day they catch a boat over there and they go to Philippi. And that is where Lydia, the first European believer, was won to the Lord, and the Philippian church was started. But then we know that later on there was the little slave girl that kept following them around and saying, listen to these men, they're from God. But she was a little fortune teller, and she had a little fortune-telling demon in her. And so Paul got tired of it and finally turned around and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And she was delivered and set free, but her owners were not happy because there went her earnings, because they had gotten fairly well off of the money that she brought in. And so Paul and Silas wound up in jail. They were beaten first, their backs beaten raw, their feet put in the stocks down in the cellar, in the dark, dank, damp cellar. And that's where they were singing praises to God at midnight. Y'all remember that story? And the Lord shook the prison open, and the jailer was going to kill himself. But then Paul says, we haven't gone anywhere. Don't kill yourself. And he comes in and says, gentlemen, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and his companion said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. And that night he and his whole household were saved and were baptized before daybreak. How about that? Would you do a baptism at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning? But this resulted in Paul and Silas being thrown out. So they go to Thessalonica a few miles south and start over. And then when some trouble was stirred up, they had to leave there and they go to Berea. And then when some trouble is stirred up, they send Paul away because Paul was a lightning rod for controversy. And he's wandering around Athens down there waiting for Timothy and Silas. And that's when he gives his Mars Hill speech. But he gets tired of all that and not much is happening in Athens. So he goes further south into the area known as Achaia, which is southern Greece. And there he goes to Corinth, which is a bustling city, but a very wicked city. Very wealthy, very opulent, but very, very wicked. But there begins, and the Lord appears to him and says, don't worry, nothing's going to happen to you here. You just keep preaching my word because I have a lot of people here. And so a church was formed in Corinth, and the ruler of the synagogue got saved. But, of course, after a few weeks, Paul was thrown out as usual. So then he opens up the hall down the street, and the Corinthian church is off and running. Well, Paul stays in Corinth longer than he stayed most places. There were many places he may have only been days or weeks or a couple of months or something. But he was there 18 months, long enough to get a good, strong church going, and then he leaves. Well, as of the writing of these letters, Paul has been gone for some time. Apollos has been sent back there to strengthen the brethren and other ministers. And again, they obviously had ministers, and they had some ministers that, if you read this book, you're going to understand, they had a pretty high opinion of themselves. Now, don't raise your hand, but have you ever met some preachers of the gospel that had some pretty high opinions of themselves?
Oh, yeah.
And so, there's these problems. And Paul's been gone a while. And so now, he's hearing about these deep problems, and he feels moved to write them a letter, and he writes them the letter of 1 Corinthians. And yes, he deals with some really thorny issues in that letter. We call it a book, because it's 16 chapters long. Have you written a letter that long recently? Some of you probably have. Some emails or something. But he doesn't hold back. He speaks to them as children. Have you ever had a, shall we call it, an honest, open, and frank discussion with your children? Not something you would necessarily repeat out in the public, but it's family business, and it needs to be addressed now. You with children, you understand what I'm talking about? And so Paul writes to them as children. Well, these others, the letter comes and it's read, and I can hear some of them. Who does Paul think he is? That little old shrimp of a preacher. He never could preach good when he was here. It says so. He quotes them. He never could preach good when he was here. And now he's gone. He's not even here anymore. And now he's trying to run the show. Furthermore, some of us here have better pedigrees than he's got, and we've been to 3 times more Bible school than Paul ever had. So why are you all listening to him? Paul isn't all that. And I'm telling you, this was going on, because if you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, this is going on, because Paul wouldn't have written the things he wrote if that had not been going on. Now, were they a typical church? I'm afraid they probably were. Have I stopped preaching and gone? Anyway. Are humans still humans?
Yes.
I remember when I was in the first grade, the only time I ever... I did get in trouble once in the third grade, too. So let's say the first time I ever got in trouble at school. I thought I was a pretty well-behaved kid and all that compared to a lot of them. But one day the teacher, we had a middle-aged teacher. Let me tell you something. When you're 5 years old, you're in the first grade, and you didn't even go to kindergarten first, and you got a middle-aged woman up there, a little on, not majorly, but on the portly side and very strict, I tell you what, you kind of live in fear of that person. You know what I'm talking about? And the teacher had to leave the room one day and go down the hall. It was very unusual, because she never did this. She said, now, you all, June, you just stay right where you at, and I'll be back in a few minutes. And so she goes down the hall. This is in, by the way, Weewahitchka, Florida. It's in the panhandle. That's the only hint I can give you, and you might be able to Google it. I went back there 3 or 4 years ago just to see what the place looks like now. Weewahitchka, and what was the grade school is now an adult education center. But anyway, she goes down the hall. She's gone a few minutes. She hadn't been gone. Listen, people don't change. She hadn't been gone 30 seconds, and the 2 or 3 more aggressive boys were up and running around the classroom. And over by the wall, there was these storage areas where we had little wooden cars and things that we used for certain things. And they started getting them out and passing them out. And we all got caught up in it. And when the teacher came back a few minutes later, it was bedlam in there. And I had my little old car, too. And I was going boom, 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 boom. And wound up in front of the class and got my hand hit with a ruler. And I cried. You say, why is the pastor telling this story? I'm telling this story is because as soon as the teacher left, the kids were running the show the way they wanted to run it. And that's the way the Corinthian church was. Paul was gone now, and he says that. And so he says, you're like a bunch of school kids, and the teacher has left the room, and now you're playing king and queen. Who's going to be king now? Who's going to be queen now? Oh, okay, I'm king. He says, I wish you really were. So we could reign with you. But because of all these things, there were some hard feelings against Paul, and some people, not everybody, but some people had closed their hearts to him. And that's sad. Just because he had to write them the truth about something, and just because they now are listening to other people, have you ever let yourself be led by others and they poisoned your opinion about, don't answer that one, poisoned your opinion about somebody or whatever, or a little bit of pride of heart, and we start looking down on somebody and we start closing our heart to them? It can happen so quick, and it can happen so many ways. And don't tell me we're not capable of it, because we're all capable of it. And we've probably all done it at some time or other to somebody. And some of you know what it is to have a child close their heart to you. And you know how painful that is. And if you haven't, thank the Lord. Contributing factors to the Corinthians' closed heart. If you're one of those who like to follow the notes or make the notes, now's the time. We're going to move through this pretty quick. And I do have some references there, just supporting references. Not conclusive, but just supporting. These are at least some possible reasons. They certainly seem to be implied or hinted at the very least, as we read the book. Number one, they were superficial in their thinking. They were hung up on appearances. And the more immature that we are, and in his first letter he tells them they're immature. He says, you're still carnal believers. You have all these gifts. You have all these things. And yet you are still carnal. And he said, the proof is that you're still comparing yourselves with each other. And some of you are saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Christ. I'm of this one. I'm of that one. He says, are you not still carnal? You are immature. You are looking at surface things. And these people come in there and they quote their pedigree and they talk about their abilities and their achievements and their accomplishments. And all of a sudden they look at these people who can't hold a candle to Paul, and yet they see him as somebody who's so much better than Paul. And so now they start looking down at Paul because they are superficial in their thinking. And when we are superficial in our thinking, we are immature. And when we are immature, we will make wrong judgments. And we will judge by appearances instead of by the reality.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Number two. Perhaps offended by some of Paul's personal ways. Oh, he just rubs me the wrong way. When he's up in that pulpit, he takes his hanky out and wipes his nose while he's preaching. His tie is too loud. Whatever. But offended by some of Paul's personal ways. Hey, we're all human, and I imagine we all have our irritating ways. Do we not?
Yes, we do.
My irritating ways may be different from yours, but I think we all do. And it's a shame that just over petty stuff like that, we can actually begin to close our hearts to someone. And then when we close our hearts to someone, we're no longer listening to them. And then if the Lord is speaking through them to us, we're not able to hear what the Lord is saying to us because we've closed our hearts to them. Number three, and this one's big, didn't like what Paul had to say. Who does he think he is talking to us this way? And I tell you, a lot of people close their hearts. Children close their hearts to parents. And in other relationships, people close their hearts to each other because they don't like what they're hearing. And so it's easy. Just close them off and we stop listening. Let me tell you, when you have stopped listening, you have closed your heart. Number three. Number four, easily led, easily influenced by others. Been listening to other people's trash talk too much. And if you start listening to other people's trash talk too much, then you will be influenced by it. Am I right?
You're right. That's right.
And Paul told them what they didn't want them to hear, and he told them straight, but he didn't talk trash. And he only delivered what he felt would be good for them, for their spiritual growth and their spiritual welfare. Let's talk a little bit about an open heart and about a closed heart. This is by no way comprehensive. This is just to help us see a little bit. An open heart is a tender heart. We used to listen to HCJB radio in Puerto Rico because there weren't any English language stations around in those days. And one of the programs that came on in the evening, it might have been Elizabeth Elliot. It was one of those. Her sign-off always was, keep your heart tender toward God. Number two, an open heart is an accepting heart. Do you hold people at bay? Do you push people away? Or do you invite them in so that you can minister to them and be a blessing to them or have fellowship with them? Number three, a forgiving heart. Nothing will close our heart to someone faster than unforgiveness. And that's another thing. Perhaps some feel, you know, we feel we've been wronged by somebody. We've been slighted by somebody. And so the next thing we do is we just close our heart to them. Which basically we just kind of write them off. We don't hate them. We don't have real strong ill feelings toward them. We just shut them out. And so at that point, they can't really receive anything from us. Not that we would really desire to share it anyway in that case, but and we can't receive anything from them. Number four, an open heart is a caring heart. Open heart reaches out. And an open heart is eager for God's word and quick to respond. So that's how we know. Those are some of the ways we know if we have an open heart, like a little self-checklist. Here are some characteristics of a closed heart. A closed heart is a hardened heart. Now, it's possible that none of us would think of ourselves as having a hard heart. I'm sure none of us would want to think of ourselves as having a hard heart. And yet, it's very easy to harden our heart in certain situations. And we may indeed harden our hearts against the Lord, against His Word, against His people, against people around us, and hardly even realize that it's happening. But when we are in that situation, we're not really able to hear. How many times does it say in the Gospels, especially Mark, that Jesus said these things to the disciples, but they didn't get it because their heart had been hardened?
Yes, yes.
And it says that of His disciples. I mean, they loved Him, and they stayed with Him, and they were loyal, and eventually they stayed with Him, and the Lord worked it all out. But on that day, they didn't get that particular piece of truth because they weren't listening, because their hearts were hard. For whatever. What things would harden our heart? All kinds of things. Just grumpiness, attitudes, the things of this world, letting too much of the negativity of this world get in. Whatever, any of those things can do it. And when it starts getting that way, that's when we need to say, Lord, I need my heart. You ever worked with something that kind of sets up, and then if you leave it, and then you have to go back and add a little bit of something to it, like pancake batter or paint or whatever, and then you got to get it souple again. And our hearts need that from time to time. A closed heart impairs our ability to receive and assimilate God's truth. And that is what was happening with Paul. They weren't listening, some of them now, in the second letter. Not that some of them had listened in the first letter. But they've taken this attitude against Paul now, and they've closed their heart to him. So they can't benefit from what he's sharing and trying to say to them. They cannot receive God's truth through him, because if you close your heart to God's mouthpiece, whoever that may be, you're not able to receive whatever God would share with you through that person. And that is really sad, because that stunts our spiritual growth. Number three. A closed heart decreases our capacity to care, feel, respond, and relate as God intends. And it's just not possible to relate as we should, have the true fellowship. How many know that fellowship is more than just having a whole bunch of bodies in the same building at the same time?
That's right, yes.
It's a lot more than that. And it's a lot more between times, too. Number four, a closed heart pushes people away. So you better watch that one. If you're finding yourself pushing people away, you need to really take a look and see if perhaps you don't have a closed heart. Number five, and this one's sad. A closed heart is a heart ripe for deception and manipulation.
Yes.
And I could spend a long time on this one, folks. But especially if you've closed somebody out of your life because you don't like the things they're saying to you, and they love you, and you don't like, you have just opened yourself up to be deceived and to be manipulated, because the next person that comes along and tells you what you want to hear, what will you do? You will latch right on to it. And the people who are telling you what you want to hear are not the people who really care about you. That doesn't mean your friends are on your case all the time, but I'm just saying, the ones who are manipulators always know the right things to say. Am I right? And we are setting ourselves up, because if we close out the truth just because we don't like it or we don't like the messenger, we have just become wide open. I mean wide. I mean we got a target on us this big from the enemy to be led astray by someone or brought under someone's manipulation. And these that were so impressing the Corinthians at that time, read the rest of the book. They were users underneath, and they were manipulators, but they were so good at it that the Corinthians didn't even know it was happening yet.
Yes.
Isn't that the way it is?
Yes, it is.
Number 6. A closed heart is one of the enemy's most effective ways of getting us off track in our spiritual walk and freezing our spiritual growth in its tracks. And that is why the enemy is always trying to sow discord. And that is why the enemy is always trying to monopolize on our weak spots, because he does know where our buttons are. Am I right about that? And he knows just who to send our way to get us reacting wrong, to get us whatever, to reacting wrong, to closing our heart. And then once that process begins, the enemy now has a platform from which he can work. He can at the very least stunt our spiritual growth, and at the very worst actually lead us into deception or into a very, very hurtful circumstance later on. So, folks, what is the message here? The message here is simply this. I wrote up at the top this proverb. Above all else, guard what? Your heart. What would you give in exchange for your heart? One of the major gospel quartets many years ago, their signature song was, "How about your heart? Is it right with God?" Because our heart, that's where God works. And when our heart is closed, God can't work like he wants to work. And we may say, well, my heart's open to God, it's just not open to certain people. When we close our heart to our brother, so they've wronged you. Does that mean you have to close your heart to them? It doesn't mean you have to be at their house every day, hanging out with them and all of that. But you can forgive them, and you can have an open heart toward them, to pray for them and to share with them if the Lord should give you something to share.
Yes.
Can I hear an amen? And it can just happen so quickly, so quickly. And so we just need to be aware and say, Lord, give me an open heart. Is there someone that you have closed your heart to and you need to open your heart back up to them? You say, yeah, but I don't know if I can. Maybe you can't, but with the Lord's help, you can. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And when our hearts are open, oh, we can both give and receive. And that's a wonderful thing. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you haven't closed your heart to us, even though we have often been wrong, even though we have often closed our hearts to others, even though we have failed in many ways, and even turned from you in certain ways. You have not written us off, and you have not closed your heart to us. And so, Lord, today I pray as your people, give us open hearts, first of all to you, and then secondly of all to the people close to us, our brothers and sisters in the Lord and the people in our household. And then beyond that, neighbors, friends, work associates, unbelievers. Give us open hearts. It doesn't mean we have to adopt their lifestyle. We don't plan to do that. But we can have an open heart because it was your open heart to us that brought us to grace. It was your open heart that called us out of our sin and brought us into the relationship we have today. Help us to see this, Lord. Help us to see how it's worked in our lives and help us to see how important it is if you're going to work through us and in us to reach others. We thank you and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.